insert. Hold on to that. Keep thinking about who's the real priest. Kathy and I are going down to see Sean and Bethany and grandkids this next weekend. Jeff Wolf's going to be preaching, and Danita's in charge of music, and things will go on normal with Labor Day weekend. And I know that you're going to have a great time, and I know Kathy and I are going to have a great time with Sean, Bethany, and the kids. Well, I got a question for you. Who's the real priest? Here's the Old Testament priest, the turban, the robe, the incense. Sarah, a priest? You gotta be kidding me. Well, it's all true. Because of who you are, Christians, in Christ Jesus, you are God's priests. Did you know that? Sarah, do you ever think of yourself as a priest? I didn't think so. You are a priest. As a follower of Jesus Christ. You are the front line for God's mission in our world today. We all think of people that have gone from the United States to various world areas to do missionary work, and we think of them as missionaries. But if we really understand the Bible, they are missionaries in a specific assignment. But as a Christian, you have a mission. You are a missionary. You are a priest. You are a minister. I had to be gone all day Friday, and so the slides I put together in an order ended up in an order that they're different from what they should have been. And this morning I realized that, so that's a little late. So, Linda, would you jump ahead to slide number 13, please? Yeah. Now, look at one of God's provisions for the church. And I hope you really listen to this passage as you think about who to call as a pastor, because the Bible has some very, very, very clear directions. Are you ready for them? Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. And their job is to keep on going until we all come to such unity in our faith and in our knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. My more preferred translation says, God appointed some to be apostles, some to be pastors, teachers, for the job of equipping the saints. That's you. But I'm aware that we just can't quite get our arms around that one. I know. The idea that you're a priest, calling you a saint, That's still, we all understand, that's sort of a traditional phrase that's come, we have trouble dealing with. But my friends, you're a saint. A saint is simply a person who belongs to God. The word translated saint is comes from the word translated holy or holiness, meaning to belong to God. And when you really look at this, you see this category, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. They became, through the history of the church, what we understand as the ordained ministers. Everywhere Paul went and organized a church and planted a church, he would appoint one person to serve as elder of that church. Whether it was a church of 13 or a church of 20. We know they were all small. They were basically house churches. And those elders became the leaders of that body of believers that responded to Christ. And their job was to equip the people to do ministry. You're not calling a minister to do the ministries of this church. You're not calling a program planner. You're not calling a social worker. You're not calling a musician. When you call a pastor, you're calling someone to equip you to do the ministry. You aren't calling someone to be a youth pastor. You're calling someone to equip those within you who have a heart for ministry to youth to do that. You're not calling someone to be a children's pastor. You're calling someone who to equip those of you who have gifting in that way to do ministry with children. You are not calling someone to be a missionary. You're calling someone to equip you. Has my finger got you yet? You are calling someone to equip you to be a missionary to the world in which you live. Did you know that? That's scripture. It's right here. It's right here. Now, my focus is not on the pastor. My focus is on the fact that if you're a believer today, you are a minister. Did you look at the front of your bulletin? It's been there every Sunday for 30 years. Have you saw it? I know my name's there as lead pastor or whatever. But there's another very important line. Every believer is a minister. And do you know why I say that? Because of this. That's Bible. That's not just me. That's Bible. You are a minister, and your job, missionary to the world, make disciples, your job is minister to one another, to build one another up. Isn't that interesting? Jesus has this teaching to the disciples when one of them wanting to be head over all the others. He said, the Gentiles and the people in government lord their position over others, but that's not the way you work. You are servants. Building one another up. How long am I supposed to, are we to build one another up? Oh, until we all reach maturity, and the standard of maturity has nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. What it has to do with? Christ-likeness. When we've all great maturity, which is Christ-likeness. Has anybody caught sort of the catch in this? You know when this job's really going to be done? When we all get to heaven. Job security. There it is. Wow. A theologian that I have learned to appreciate describes the work this way. All Christians are by their virtue of their baptism, are called by God to witness, to teach, to heal, to proclaim. All Christians are amateurs so far as their relationship to God is concerned, yet from the ranks of the baptized, some are called to lead. Reflecting on Luther, not Martin Luther, the civil rights person, but Martin Luther, the 16th century priest, who became the founder and forerunner of the Protestant movement, this Luther noted, because not every Christian can do all the church's tasks every time the church gathers, for the sake of the good order, the church has found it helpful to ordain some from among the baptized to witness, to teach, to heal, to proclaim to the church on Sunday, so that all the baptized may witness, teach, heal, proclaim during the rest of the week. Those who are called by God and the church to lead us in this way are called pastors, priests, ministers. Well, I want us to take and reflect on this task of being priests. Yeah, you're a priest. Now, I want to build this up a little more, but I'm going to look at a selection of verses from first and early part of the second chapter of 1 Peter in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 10 of chapter 2. And would you go back to slide 3 for me, Linda? Thank you so much. I appreciate our projection people. They do a great job. Follow along. To God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. As you've come to him, Jesus, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Let's just look at some major declarations in this. You're followers of Jesus Christ. God has called you and appointed you to be a follower of Jesus. That is first and foremost above anything else. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian is not just someone who has some things put together in life and are doing pretty good. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Peter says, you have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus and sprinkled with his blood. Friends, you are not here by accident. You are not here by simple family heritage. Oh, I know there's some of us that mom and dad took us the very first Sunday they could get us out of the house to church. We've been going ever since. You're not here by accident. You're not here by heritage and training. Friends, you are here today because God called you. You are here today because God called you and invited you to be a follower of Jesus. Now, the reality is God's called everyone. There's a two-part of this election. God elects you. We elect to respond to that invitation by saying yes. And when we do so, we find the second major truth or declaration. God birthed you into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. He birthed you. He just didn't hand you a piece of paper. He birthed you into a new life through Jesus, who is the living, enduring Word of God. The Scripture is called the written Word. Jesus is the living and enduring Word of God, who is our salvation. We have been birthed into a new life. Friends, you're a child of God through the work of Jesus in your life. The third declaration, God redeemed you from the way of this world through the precious blood of Jesus. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to it. We live in the middle of this world. We really do. We live in the middle of this world. There are a lot of things we do because we live in the middle of this world. Buy houses, drive cars, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I know that. We don't belong to this world. We follow a different standard. See, we're citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God. That means you are no longer a slave of sin. I know there's that phrase, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not perfect. Wait a minute. Jesus has freed you from slavery to sin and the ways of this world. Your tendency to say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. And whatever God calls you to do, you can do. Can I run that one again? Whatever God calls you to do, you can do. Did you get that one? Whatever God calls you to do, you can do. Not because you're wonderful, not because you're super duper, but because God called you and He equips you to do what He calls you to do. Now back to that group called ordained ministers. They aren't ordained because they're more spiritual or more smart or more leader or more charismatic or any of that other junk. I'm in this work because God called me. And when I've wanted to quit, I'm aware that I'm in the work not because you elected me, not because I went to school. I'm here because God called me. My first assignment and obedience is to God. Please take this in the right way, not to you. The pastor that you call here is, first of all, an ordained minister, and it means that person belongs to God, and the first assignment is to follow God and obey God, and to equip you to do the ministry God called you to do. I am awful tempted to head off on a rabbit trail of how do you deal with criticism of the person called of God to be pastor? Be very, 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 very careful. I'm not here because one day I said, I'd sure like to be a preacher. Anybody that does that have got a few cells missing. I told God more than once he was crazy. Well, that was a nice term. Okay? But if that's true of the ordained minister, when God called you to be a follower of Jesus, He didn't just call you to give you a ticket to heaven. He called you because God has a job for you. Did you know that? God has a job for you. What are you doing with that job He gave you? He gave you a job in the middle of church. He's gifted you for it. What are you doing with it? He's called you to be a minister in your community, a missionary. What are you doing with it? He's gifted you. What are you doing with it? Jesus redeemed you from the way of the world. You are no longer a slave to sin in this world. You want to say, well, I got the bad habits. Get over it. God himself. Now, it takes us a while to put that into practice, I'm aware. God has redeemed you from the way of this world through the precious blood of Jesus. And now he's building you into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. What is a priest? A priest is a person who, first of all, proclaims the glory and grace of God. Sacrifice of praise to God. Are you giving praise to God? Sacrifice of praise. Priesthood, offering sacrifices of praise. As a priest, you represent Jesus to the world. You are an ambassador of Jesus. You are declaring the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Declaring the glory of God. Third aspect of priest, you are interceding with God for, and I left a blank line, family, friends, one another, building one another, praying for one another. Simplest definition of a priest is simply this, a person representing God to the world and representing the world back to God. That's a priest. Oh, I didn't say it was easy. It's not. Fourth aspect, there's two E's. I tried to figure which one I wanted, and they both fit, so it messed me up. As a priest, you edify and encourage one another. Edify is just an old word for build one another up. Not shoot at each other, build one another up. In an interesting reference, just a little team of, what? Well, how many guys are on a little league team? 13, 14, something like that? Pardon? I didn't hear that. 12. Thank you. And their age is what? 11 to whatever? Yeah. Isn't it interesting how they just have created this excitement and identity of this whole South Pennsylvania area? Up and down the street. Now, did they stay there and say, Ben, you got to start wearing, you don't have your red shirt, you're in trouble. Didn't do that, did they? Did anybody come around to you, Mike and Pam, and say, you got to show up because you know, your girls know some of these teams and you just better get yourself in gear, you got to go. Did anybody ever do that? No. It just sort of caught on. Excitement. That's how we edify the Lord Jesus Christ. He flows with us, and it's catching, and it's contagious. Building one another, edifying, encouraging. The best way I could come up with ask for a priest is just serve God with your whole being. Body, soul, spirit, serve God. See, our first job is to serve God. Our first job is to serve God. Our first job is to serve God with our whole being. Oh, there's going to be areas of your thinking you're saying, Lord, is that what you really mean? He's saying, yeah, and you're saying, there'll be some argument. I understand. Just let me give you a little heads up. God always wins. And when he wins, you win. And when you make him the loser, you lose. A little simple hint. But the finalist, the priest, trusts God totally with all their being. Yeah, God's called you and anointed you. God has birthed you. God's redeemed you. God has made you a priest. And so now, you are the people of God. Wow. I want you to think about that. You're the people of the one who raised Jesus to life. Raised him from the dead and the grave. You belong to the one who loves you so much he gave his only son. You are the one who can redeem you and make you all he wants you to be. You are the people of God. Yes, there's going to be tough days. There's going to be tough times dealing with tough people. But in the middle of it, God, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, is with you. Watch this video clip, and then Ben, come lead us in a song.